let's get back to this. Now, this says as early as November of 1915, the leader of the Parisian went around suggesting that the British might gain some benefit from a formal declaration in support of a Jewish national homeland in Palestine. And this is the, or is this a prerequisite to the Balfour Declaration of 1917? Now, I'm having a little trouble with the timeline because, as many of us know, you know, it has been said that the sinking of the Lusitania is what caused the United States to enter into the war, but the timeline of the Lusitania sank before November of 1915. So it says that historically what was going on in Britain at that time was the Great War, World War I, a war of massive carnage. And the British, in the first battle, lost between 50 and 60,000 men in one day. Of a battle that went on. And both the Germans and the British wanted the U.S. to come in on their side. Now, the Americans at the time were isolationists. They didn't want to go kill and to be killed in a pointless foreign war. And Wilson was even elected with the slogan, "He kept us out of the war." What happened was, a British Zionist by the name of Chaim Weizmann went to the British government and stated that the Zionists could help them win the war. Germany at the time held the Ottoman Empire, of whom held Palestine, and the Zionists wanted Palestine. Now, this secret society of brothers, who, by oath, held their Zionist idea higher than any nation and were bonded brothers, Weizmann told the Brits that Brandeis, Louis Brandeis, who was their bonded brother and close to Wilson, could convince the United States to side with the Brits in the war, thereby assuring victory for the Brits, as long as they promised Palestine to the Zionists. Well, we know the outcome of that. So let's push forward now to the 30s and 40s. In Palestine itself, with Jewish colonization, violence started to increase around the 20s and started escalating further when the indigenous peoples there started to figure out that they were being displaced from their lands. And there were later terrorist organizations started up by the Zionists. And you've heard of them, the Irgun and the Stern Gang, as it turns out. They had, both of these gangs, the Irgun and the Stern Gang, had front groups in the United States with, what is this? Nice to hear someone cutting through, okay. Now I lost my place here. Let's see. The Irgun and the Stern Gang, as it turns out, had front groups in the United States with duplicitous names. And they were funneling massive amounts of money and weaponry to these terror groups in Palestine. They would put on fundraising pageants where thousands of prominent, well-to-do Americans both attended and contributed. One of the front groups was led by a man named Peter Bergson. And people always thought his name was Hillel Cook, but he was an operative in the Irgun. Let me pause just a second here, folks. I got to get this back up here just in case the phone rings, and so I can see. I got 18 things going on my screen right now, so bear with me here just a second. And let me get back to this. Okay. Hillel Cook was an operative for the Irgun, and one of the front group's leaders was Rabbi Baruch Quirf. Now, Rabbi Baruch Quirf was also part of a cell in Paris that was planning on, get this, flying an airplane over Britain and bombing it. Now, Britain had just defeated Hitler, and the Zionists were angry at the Brits because they weren't allowing a large enough amount of Jewish immigration into Palestine. Now, the problem was they didn't know how to fly an airplane as they weren't pilots, so they needed to find somebody. They recruited a young American aviator named Reginald Gilbert. Now, Reginald was an ace during the war, and he was currently living in Paris, so they recruited him. Reginald pretended to go along with the plot, but like Smedley Butler, he ultimately exposed him. He went to the American embassy in Paris. The embassy then informed the Paris police, and when it came time to actually fly the plane, they were caught. Now, the original plan was to bomb Parliament, but they then decided they hated the foreign ministry more. And at one point, Reginald asked them, "What if I can't find the ministry due to, inclement weather or fog?" And they replied, and I quote, "Well, then just drop drop the bombs anywhere, kill anybody, we don't care, the British are our enemy, unquote. So Rabbi Korff wound up in prison for a few months, but since he had very powerful friends in the United States, he was ultimately released. And get this, later in life, not only did Allison discover that Korff was a friend of Richard Nixon, but also counseled Nixon on policies in the Middle East. And Nixon, in a fond way, called him my rabbi. Now, the precursor to the formidable Jewish lobby here in the United States, people say, well, how come the Jewish lobby has so much influence? Well, here's the history of it, folks. And if you don't know, I'm going to share it with you. Because I've scratched my head many times and say, how come we always bend over for Israel? Well, it's the Israeli lobby, and they have a lot of power, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the precursor to the formidable Jewish lobby here in the United States was a group called the American Zionist Emergency Council, or AZEC. And by 1943, AZEC had acquired a budget of about $500,000 annually at a time where a nickel bought a loaf of bread. Now, in addition to this money, Zionists had become influential in creating the United States or the United Jewish Appeal in 1939, giving them access to $14 million in 1941, and by 1948 they had $150 million annually. That is equivalent in today's dollars of $1 trillion. They took this money to manipulate, to bribe, to buy off, to compromise, etc., the United States. They took that money and targeted every sector of U.S. society. They targeted congressmen. They targeted Christian clergy, editors, professors, business and labor, Jewish war veterans. They targeted more than 400 local committees under 76 state and regional branches. They funded books. They funded articles. And they targeted academia. They put out millions of pamphlets. There were massive petitions and ad campaigns. They targeted college presidents and dean. They worked to manufacture Christian support. They secretly funded certain Christian groups that would push the same Zionist ideology. Now we are you starting to see now how the term Judeo-Christian, how that came into play. Now, there were opposition groups that were alive. Many Christian leaders, the State Department, the Pentagon, intelligence agencies, diverse others opposed Zionism, Jewish anti-Zionists. Two of the most celebrated Christian pastors opposed at the time was Henry Emerson Fosdick and Henry Sloan Coffin. They opposed it on both religious and moral grounds. And religious leaders in the Middle East went to Paris peace talks to advocate on behalf of Arab populations that there should be self-determination of these peoples there. Many papers were published by intelligence, by the Pentagon, and others talking about how damaging Zionism would be to foreign policy in the Middle East. Even the CIA's Dean Acheson wrote that, and I quote, supporting the Zionist agenda would imperil not only American but all Western interests in the Near East. The CIA itself put out papers saying the Zionists were pursuing objectives that would endanger the strategic interests of the Western powers in the Near and the Middle East. Now, part of the argument by these agencies, and there is today, we see it playing out, was that there would be massive chaos and bloodshed if this were to be pushed through. Before the Zionists had even declared Israel a state, they had already committed 16 massacres against the Palestinians. Now, these massacres were quite grisly, by the way. They had already ethnically cleansed over 200,000 people. And all of the battles, by the way, were fought on what the UN had determined in their plans that was to be Palestinian territory. Now, in closing this out, I want to say a few words about one of the most famous female journalists in the 20th century that you probably have never heard of. I hadn't. So tell me, have you ever heard of this prominent lady? Her name was Dorothy Thompson. Not Dorothy Kilgallen. Dorothy Thompson. I hadn't heard of her. Evidently, this gutsy lady was trying to tell the American people what was going on. She was what Encyclopedia Britannica said was one of the most famous journalists of the 20th century. She had a newspaper column, kind of like Ann Landers, that was printed all over the United States in every major newspaper. She had a national radio show listened to by millions of Americans. She was such a celebrity that there was actually a Broadway play in which she played She was played by Lauren Bacall. There was also a movie made about her life called Woman of the Year with Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn. Katharine Hepburn portrayed Dorothy Thompson. She was considered the most powerful woman in the United States after Eleanor Roosevelt by Time magazine in 1939. She was an excellent journalist and had been a foreign correspondent in Germany during the 30s and one of the first journalists to raise the alarm about Adolf Hitler. Why? Why did she raise the alarm? Because she was the first foreign journalist to be expelled by Hitler. She was, at that time, very, very sympathetic to Zionism. So Hitler kicked her out. But after the war, when Israel began to be created, she went over to see this wonderful state of Israel, the new Jewish state. When she got there, she saw hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees living in squalor, dying in large numbers every day. What did she do? She began to write about them, to tell about them, to speak about them. She even eventually made a documentary about them. And for telling about these people, for writing about these people, she wound up losing her newspaper column, and she lost her radio program. She lost her fame, and she was erased from history. Sound familiar? How many people have they done that to over the years? Well, Nikola Tesla is one. You don't hear anything about him in the history books. So anyway, enough of that. All right, so that's the story. There was a secret group here in the United States that nobody knew anything about that was pushing for this, with their band of brothers over in Europe that were pushing for this. Now, the only confusion I have in this timeline is November of 1915, when Weizmann talked to the British, but the Lusitania was sunk before that, a few months before that. So was the Lusitania actually the catalyst for putting us into war, World War One? I have to do a little bit more research on that. But the bottom line is, what do we do? I want you to imagine for the moment that the UN makes a decree, which is what they did with Israel. They make a decree, a modern Balfour Declaration, if you want, And so they decide that they're going to drop a couple of million Chinese or a couple of million Indians or a couple of million whatever on 55% of the American soil. What would you do? This is, in fact, what happened to Palestine. They made a deal. They dropped all of these people on 55%. They carved up the geographic tenants of Palestine, and these people started coming in. That's what happened to Palestine. So, people say, well, yeah, it's going on. We can't do anything about it. The premise is, how do we stop this? How many billion dollars a year are going to Israel, and how much of that, I think it's about $10 billion, and how much of that $10 billion is going to massacre, to kill, to put bullets in children's head in Palestine, in Gaza, in the West Bank? How many of our tax dollars are going for this destruction? And how do we stop it? Well, I would put forth that we put a band together of people, RBN listeners, and we start calling these peoples in Congress, call them in the Senate in droves. But first, we've got to educate. You've got to do your share, and you've got to share this, folks. We have to enlighten Americans to what's really going on, and then light up those congressional phone lines like never before. And better than half of Congress and the Senate, they don't like this Israeli lobbyist control, but they haven't got the gonads to do something about it. They'll stand up if they know that we're behind them in mass. With that, let's go to Peter in Los Angeles. Peter, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Michael. I'm a first-time caller, and I applaud your courage for broaching the subject. But I wanted to tell you about one other area where that has been pretty much erased from history, and that is Jewish organized crime and how scholars of organized crime generally point to Arnold Rothstein, the guy who fixed the 1919 World Series, as being sort of the founder of organized crime as we know it today in America. Part of his mentors, people who he mentored, were Lucky Luciano and Meyer Lansky, Bugsy Siegel, who later became, of course, head of the syndicate. I watched a program on the History Channel the other day. They have a regular series called Mobsters, and one of the episodes was on Murder Incorporated. You probably heard the name, but not a whole lot of people know. It was like the enforcement arm of the mob. Now, the financial arm was Meyer Lansky. He ran the finances. The enforcement arm was Murder Incorporated, where they say they did as many as 1,000 hits within, 8 or 9 years in the United States. All of these guys were Jewish. I would submit to you that the history of the mob is everybody knows it. Everybody thinks, oh, it's, Vito Genovese and Al Capone. It's all Italian. It wasn't all Italian. It was very heavily Jewish. And I guarantee you that if you have control of the enforcement and the finances, you control organized crime. But nevertheless, these guys committed murder after murder after murder. And at the end of this show, which was on this, and by the way, it's on the History Channel, which is basically Jewish-owned and probably written by Jews, and the people they interviewed were all Jews. They were saying, and you know what, after this was kind of broken up in the 40s, the Jews Murder Incorporated, and a lot of these guys went to the electric chair, the Jews, unlike the Italians, the Jews, they said on this show, they all became stockbrokers, and they matriculated to honorable professions, where the Italians stayed right in there. And that's the way they presented it. But I will guarantee you that that's not what happened. And nobody just gives up control of organized crime. Remember Michael Corleone saying, or what's his name, we're bigger, Michael, than U.S. Steel? Nobody gives that up. When you control the finances, the enforcement, you control it. But it's been erased from history, and nobody knows about that. But you can Google it and find it out. So there you go. That's
you just gave me another job, Peter. and thank you for the input. That's very interesting. But are you saying, before I let you go, are you saying that they still exist to this day, still at the speed that they were going back at that during point in time?
It's hard to point to it exactly because, of course, it's never broached in the media, of course. Hasn't been broached since then, and when it is broached, it's said, well, they all are gone now. They're stockbrokers and presidents of corporations instead. Uh-huh. However, I would tell you that look at the Russian mob, which is basically the people who were kicked out, who were able to leave Russia because of the Jackson Amendment back in the 70s. They were Jews. The oligarchs in Russia, they were Jews. It's pretty much known fact that the Mossad dabbles very heavily not only in arms control and human trafficking, but also in ecstasy trafficking and human organ trafficking. The Mossad has been caught at that. And a couple of years back, there was an organ trafficking network broken up in the United States that included like the governor of New Jersey and some other people as well, and a whole lot of rabbis and ultra-rightist Jewish sects. But it doesn't get in the papers. It doesn't happen.
Well, I can understand why, but I'll tell you what, Peter, I will look into this. Okay, see if I can find any tidbits about it. I appreciate your information that you gave me. I've got to let you go. I got another caller. I got a break coming up, but thank you so much, and I will take a look at this as soon as I get the time to do it. And possibly
behind and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down. Vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Your host, phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, as Murr knew and Peter knew, and now we're going to go to Daryl in Alabama, who evidently knew. Hi, Daryl, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, considering we're all trying to get over the flu and dealing with the cold weather. It's so great to hear you back on the radio again, Michael. We very much appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I was told, I have a little girlfriend in Indiana that told me there's three different bugs going around. One, I think, is a, or maybe it was somebody else that told me that, but one is a stomach thing, and another one is a lung thing, and then there's another one. Which one's going around down in Alabama?
Well, the one I had is where you sit under the covers for days and shiver and sweat, and you feel like you got pins and needles, but it's a great way to have a diet. You know, you lose about 10 pounds doing that.
Well, I can
listen,
relate.
Well, this is just a fantastic subject matter you're dealing with here today, and I appreciate what your previous caller Peter just said. We refer to them as the La Cosa Nostra. La Cosa Nostra, and they've done a great job in public media and in the over the last 40-50 years of using the Italians as a foil for the mafia, when in fact the Italians were second class to what these guys were doing, really. And so that isn't really why I called, though. I wanted to draw. All this information you're bringing out is spot on. I've been following Allison Weir for years, trying to sort these things out. And I apologize for my weak voice here. But the point I wanted to dovetail in with what you were talking about here, is I believe it's important to identify that the Anglo-Zionist citizenry of the world do not operate under the burden of conscience of Christ, Michael. History reveals that the oxymoronic identity of Judeo-Christian evangelicals share this lack of conscience. They do this in pursuit of their rare and exotic devotion of supporting a Zionist Talmudic agenda that fulfills the revelatory interpretations of end times. The conclusion I've had to reach is that all of these people believe that their ends are justified by any means. I just have to say, as a Christian, who would Christ shoot with a 22 in the head? How can you be a follower of Christ?
Darryl, let me interject something here. What's fascinating to me about that report that I just shared with everybody is that for hundreds of years, 80% of Muslims, 15% of Christians, and 5% of Jewish people lived together without any conflict or anything. So who started this? Okay, I mean, how is it that these people, and even go back to recent times, to Muslims lived in peace with us. I mean, Muhammad Ali, one of my greatest heroes, was a Muslim. He converted to Muslim.
Yeah.
They weren't running around chopping people's heads off and throwing people off of buildings and stuff like that. Who's behind this? That's what I want to know. Okay, go ahead.
That's a beautiful question, and thank you. Here's my response to that. It's a considered response. I don't believe it's the real Jews.
It's Revelations 2:9.
Really don't believe.
It's Revelations 2:9 and 3:9. Beware of those who say are Jews but are not. We were warned about it twice in the Bible. Go ahead.
The synagogue of Satan, you find it in Revelations. But yet, the evangelicals and all the Zionists, they just want to trot right past that because it isn't convenient with what their objective in the end times is. Like God Almighty needs their help to bring about His time and His presence on earth. So I don't even refer to these people as Jews. The word is a non-starter for me because it's so obscured and muddied intentionally by these people. They use it as a shield and a foil. So I do appreciate using the word Zionism. That's something we can get some traction with. And I think the real Jews, and you'll find like in New York City, all the there's thousands, tens of thousands of them all over the world that protest Zionism. They understand what's going on.
Darryl, I honestly believe that the vast majority of Jews, Semitic Jews, are just as dumbed down, mesmerized, hypnotized as the rest of the mainstream sheeple, you know? Anyway, I'll hold you over if you've got something else to say. We've got to take a break. I'll be back in a few minutes, folks. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. See you in a few.
Going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. I don't remember exactly when I lost my mind. Was it when I first came to RBN or shortly thereafter when I found out a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't know before? I don't know. Anyway, at what point in time did you folks lose your mind by listening to RBN and getting hooked on it? Interestingly enough, this morning, I was looking around. I thought, well, wow, I moved into this new place, and I said, I had a whole box full of books, and I actually went out to my shed this morning to try to find that box of books. I can't find them because I had the guy on my show that wrote the book, Synagogue of Satan. Can't remember his name now, but I went out looking for the book because I was going to relate a couple things to it. I can't find it, so I guess I'm going to have to order it again. But let's, before we go any further, let's go to Scottish John in Austin. Scottish John, you're on with Michael. How you doing today, buddy? Hello, Scottish John. Or is it John? Maybe it's a... hello, John?
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right, sorry, but I don't know what happened there, but... Listen, I didn't think I was going to get to talk to you today because I had a dental appointment, but because of this weather, it got cancelled, so lucky me, here we are.
I was going to say, you sound pretty good if you're on Novocaine. Hey, by the way, what part of Scotland are you from, John?
I'm from Falkirk.
Falkirk? Oh, okay. How far is that from Aberdeen?
It's quite a bit. Aberdeen's away up northeast. Falkirk is in central Scotland. And it's exactly midway between Glasgow and Edinburgh.
Well, fit like, buddy. Right? Huh? No, yeah. You knew I was married to a Scottish woman that was from Aberdeen, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, long time ago, when the earth was green. Oh, it still is green over in Scotland. But go ahead, what's on your mind?
Well, back then when I used to call in, I was married to an American woman, and I'm no longer, so...
I was going to say, how'd that work out for you?
That's a conversation for off air sometime.
Oh, okay. Yeah, mine too. Trust me. Yeah. Well, hey, listen. I want to thank you for providing me that information yesterday. I hope I didn't botch it up too bad.
Well, quite the contrary, mate. I mean, I'm just blown away by what you put together there in that first hour. That was amazing stuff, man. Absolutely amazing. Every credit to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It took a while, I have to say that. You know. And by the way, I put a call into her this morning. I'm waiting on her to call me back. I wonder if I can get a hold of her. I want to bring her up on the show. Fascinating. Just fascinating information. A lot of that stuff, well, not a lot of it, but some of that stuff I didn't even know. I didn't know that there was a secret society created over here by the Zionists that were working hand-in-hand with the Europeans. I didn't know that. But anyway, yeah, accolades to you, man. I really appreciate you giving me that information. And anything else you got that might, you know, on that or any other topic, I tell the entire listening audience, John, that if you have something that you think is pertinent, I'll take a look at it, and if I think it's airworthy, I'll put it up.
I just emailed you another little thing. I don't know if you've heard about it, but are you familiar with the Sykes-Picot Agreement?
The Sykes-Picot Agreement?
Uh-huh.
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, I emailed it to you about 10 minutes ago, so you'll get it. It should be in your email.
Go ahead.
Yeah, when you asked me yesterday, was there anything I wanted to add to what I'd already said? I just said no, because I don't phone into radio shows very often these days. Not that I ever did call in often, and I wasn't completely prepared. There were a few things I wanted to say, but for some reason my brain just switched off. Now, I'd heard you. It's my age, man. I'm an old man now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't sound old. I mean, I enjoy that Scottish twang. Go ahead. What do you got?
Yeah, I heard you talking last week about the greatest story never told.
Yes.
And now, that's a documentary. I think I was one of the lucky ones. I got to see that when it first came out, approximately a bit over a year ago. I'm not exactly sure, but certainly it was at least a year ago. And I watched it all the way through, and I watched it again, and I've revisited it from time to time, because it just became something that piqued my interest, because after going down the rabbit hole with the Holocaust, I've heard it said, I'm now 67 and I retired 2 years ago, and I think I've heard a lot of people in that age bracket, you say, you know, you're kind of heading towards the last chapter of your life, not wanting to be morose, but what you want to find out some truths about things before you clock out. You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, things that you've just been questioning all your life, and as the years go by and you start finding out little bits of information, you think, oh, I need to check on that, and then it leads you, as I said, it leads you down the rabbit hole.
And, I know.
Yeah.
I'm laughing, John, because I do this all the time. I do it almost every day. It'll read you down all kinds of rabbit holes. Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. So, yeah, old Mr. Hitler, I mean, he was demonized. But it turned out the reason he was demonized was because he was sticking it to the man. And by the man, I mean the Rothschilds.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, mate.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you know, Hitler threw, he threw him out of Germany. I mean, they threw the Jews out of the banking system, the Zionists, you know, the political parties, the theaters where they were putting all this decadent stuff up and the paintings, and you know, he just kicked them out. But he's not the only guy. That's why I was looking for that book, Synagogue of Satan, this morning, because I can't remember how many countries these people have been kicked out of. I think it was either 54 or 74. John Stadtmiller and I had this conversation Sunday, but neither one of us could remember. But look what they did in Iceland. They didn't kick him out. They put him in jail, John. Okay? I mean, they just did this a few years ago. And what did we do? We turned around and said, oh, we need a bailout. We've got to bail these people out. The mortgages are upside down and the economy's crashing. After they signed on and they got the money, they changed their mind and they gave it to the banks because they were too big to fail. That's what we did. Yeah. But look, what Iceland did, their economy's booming now. What about ours? Our economy's doing pretty well under Trump, but I'm saying still it could be a lot better if we just get rid of these people. Go ahead. Your turn.
Yeah. have you ever heard of the General Patton's letters back home?
I knew that General Patton wanted to march into Russia. He wanted to march into Moscow. What did I miss?
No, it's just that he apparently, and I've looked at some of this stuff. I haven't looked at all of it, but apparently he regularly wrote home, and he was telling his wife and his family that basically he felt that they'd fought the wrong enemy. And funnily enough, as you just mentioned, he thought the enemy should have been the Russians.
Yes.
Back then.
Yeah.
And not the Germans. So.
Right. And by the way, that agreement you talked about, the Sykes, whatever it is, spell that for me so I can look it up.
I emailed it to you, yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind. You don't have to do it then. I'll look at my email. I got to put on another hat after the show. I got to make a phone call to my little friend, my girlfriend over in Indiana, and then I got to go umpire a ball game, and then I got to come back. I got to read your email and get started on what I'm going to do tomorrow. So, you know, I got a pretty busy schedule. Anyway, what else you want to add, John?
I'll just say one more thing about this Israel-Palestine issue. I think one of the things I find most disturbing and most distasteful about this is, given the claims of the Jews about their treatment at the hand of the Nazis and the claim of this 6 million died in the Holocaust, you look at the way they've treated the Palestinian people since they moved in 70 years ago. If that's not a Holocaust or a genocide, what is? And it just sickens me.
Well, it's outrageous. It's audacious what they're doing. And to turn around and claim, never again, and oh, 6 million died, and blah, 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 and then turn around and do what they're doing to the Palestinians. I mean, and the United States government just turns a blind eye to it. And we continue to send money to them. That's what really nauseates the heck out of me. You know, and this is why... Go ahead.
Speaking of that, I'll finish off with this. Just over a week or so ago, Alison put something up on her Facebook page. She wanted us to sign a petition. It turned out there was two, actually, so I signed two of these petitions. And about a week later, or a few days, rather, I got a response from my congressman, who I'd never heard of, to tell you the truth. His name apparently is Roger Williams, and he's from the 25th District in Texas. And I'll just briefly read you a couple of lines of what he said. Thank you for contacting me. With your thoughts on Israel, as your representative, it is good to hear from you about the issues that matter most. Israel is our partner, our ally, but most importantly, our friend. And I won't say any more because, you know, what more do you need to hear?
The response itself is laughable, John. You know, it's our ally and our friend. What is this guy, blind? Okay. But you know what? Cynthia McKinney was the one that stated that she said that you have to sign some agreement that you're going to support Israel unequivocally.
Oh, you're not going to get any money.
Well, you're not going to get reelected. They threw her out. I mean, they got rid of her because she wouldn't sign on to that. So this is what these Congress people have to do. And according to Allison, she's saying, look, you know, get a bunch of people together and start pounding these people because half of the people in Congress don't like it. But they know that if they try to do anything about it, they will vote them out. You know, they'll get rid of them because the abundance of money going in to support their opponent would be enough to, you know, look what they did to Joe Arpaio here. You know, that's how they got him out as sheriff. Yeah. And Barack Obama was behind that. So, anyway, so go ahead, read another sentence from that guy, John Williams.
They have served as one of our most reliable connections in the Middle East and helped facilitate U.S. influence among other nations in the area. I believe the United States has both a moral and strategic obligation to defend Israel's sovereignty. There's another one, Michael. You know, Israel declared independence. Who the hell did they declare independence from?
Well, John, they're the only democracy in the Middle East, according to mainstream media. And if anybody knows anything about them, they're a bigger apartheid state than Africa was. You know, they treat any non-Jew as a second class or third class citizen, and part of their citizenry is under martial law. Okay, do you call that democracy? Who is, you know, how deep up this guy's rectum does he have his head? That's enough. I'm through railing on the guy. Well, we know who he is, what he's all about, but, you know, who do you elect? You know, you elect another guy who goes in, he's got to sign the same agreement as Cynthia McKinney said, and if they don't, they'll get him out, too. You know, I don't know. You know, are you going to respond to that or not, that letter?
Actually, I'm compiling some video clips and trying to compose a letter and keep it as clean and balanced as I can. Because really, what I want to tell him, I obviously can't say on air, but I want to compose a letter, and this is just a standard.
You know what I think we ought to do, John? You know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to collaborate on the letter. What do you think?
Yeah, I would love that. I would love that. Yeah. Now, okay. I've just remembered one last thing I want to say to you, because I don't know if you get any other callers on the line. I don't want to keep them held up.
No, we're good. Go ahead.
Okay. I heard Frances talking to you after I spoke to you yesterday, and yes. I've been familiar with Frances for years. She was a regular caller into Joyce Riley on The Power of Rest Her Soul. And I always recognize her voice. Now, yesterday she happened to mention a radio station called TFR, Truth Frequency Radio.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I sort of became involved with that. If you don't mind me talking about this.
No, go ahead.
Well, I became involved with this station possibly late 2014, early 2015, because they had the Scottish independence referendum back in 2014. And Alex Jones and I had crossed paths several times in Austin when I was out, you know, getting involved with the Ron Paul support thing and the fluoride in the water issue in Austin. You know, he would sometimes appear on the scene. And I would call into his show a time or two. And anyway, he invited me on to be a guest to talk about the Scottish referendum. And as a result of that, I sort of further down the line got hooked up with these two guys in Scotland who have a show on this network, and they would invite me on as a guest regularly. It started off about once a month, and then it went once to every 2 weeks. And then one day, finally, the guy says to me, John, the network wants to offer you your own show. And I says, wow, that's cool, man. But at that particular time, I was studying to take my citizenship test. So I says, you need to give me a few weeks. I need to get this taken care of first. So, yeah, fine, no problem. I never heard from them again.
I tell you what, John, before you leave the air, I want you to give your phone number to my engineer, Dan, because actually I want to hear about your ex-wife. No, I'm just kidding. But if we're going to collaborate
just for saying that, pal, the first half hour of our conversation is going to be all about her, right?
Well, then I'll take the second half hour all about mine. Anyway. But give him your phone number, and I'll catch up with you hopefully later on this evening, and we'll collaborate. Because, yes, I think we should collaborate on this letter to the congressman, because obviously he has no idea what he's talking about, or he's spoon-fed the Kool-Aid, and he needs to be apprised of a few specific facts that I think you and I together could come up with that'll just basically – he probably won't even respond to it, you know, or maybe he'll just resign from Congress. I don't know. We could be so lucky.
if you're lucky enough to be contacted by Alison Weir, in the meantime, we could ask her for input, you know, because there probably wouldn't be anyone much better, much more qualified to help us.
She's the one that said we need to contact a congressman, and I think that's a great lead into it right there with that stupid letter you got from this clown. So, anyway, yeah, I'm hoping that she calls me back. If she doesn't, I'll call her back again. On her website, it gives a contact number, but also gives an email, so I may email her as well. But I'd love to have her up on the show. Anyway, anything else you want to add?
Not that I can think of. I'll just say this. The British government is pretty much the same as the US government. They're pretty much owned and operated by the Zionists.
Mm-hmm. I know. Go ahead.
Yeah. There's a little video on YouTube. I'll dig it out and mail it to you. And also, have you seen the you've obviously seen the greatest story never told. Have you seen the video called Hellstorm?
Hellstorm? No, I haven't, but I'll write it down. Okay, Hellstorm. Can you get it on YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Give your telephone number to my engineer Dan. And I'll let you go because I'm going to a break. I'll have the final segment here. Stick around, more to come. Nice talking to you, John.
Cheers.
Be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
All right, folks, we're back. Final segment of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley. So I'm still laughing over John. You know, what a great bunch of callers today. Daryl and Peter in L.A. and Scottish John and Murr. I mean, I just, you know, that's what makes this job worth doing, folks, is you guys. You guys are so much fun sometimes. I was going to get into a completely different subject, but I've only got a few minutes left. And following that, it brings to mind what I had said last week when you know, I made the joke about Jerry Lee Lewis walking past Chuck Berry after he lit the piano on fire with great balls of fire, and he said, "Follow that, killer." What else can you do to follow that? I mean, such great information. But yeah, you know, I was looking for my book you know, the Synagogue of Satan. I can't find it. And I want to make a couple of points out of the book, but I wanted to see how many countries they've thrown these Zionists out of. And I don't know. I know it's over 50. But what's interesting is that, you know, Hitler kicked them out, like so many countries before him kicked them out. But Iceland didn't kick them out. They did the right thing. They put them in jail. I think that would be a great place for them. You know, so that being said, I'm going through, and I'm in my email box right now, and I see, yes, Scottish John did send me a wee bit more info. And for those of you who don't know what fit like means in Scottish, I believe it means how you doing. That's just one of the snippets I picked up from my then Scottish wife years ago. But Carol Asher, she sent me an email, this thing called Israel. Let me read this. Let me see here. Hold on just a second. Sometimes my computer is slow. She says, this thing called Israel. This article should be fairly brief, its purpose being to make, made a single point, is to restate a major point made in the lengthier article posted on the site a couple of months ago. If it is one rock-bottom point that I do not hear made nearly enough, despite all the endless yarns and debates spun constantly both by and about this 68-year monstrous political creature, the why of this repeat is simple. The point cannot be made too often, not until such time as we would finally get it and respond properly to it. Let there be no mistake. Political Israel is an aberration, an artificial concoction. It is the product, the result of orchestrated, legitimized theft. Wow. A political entity arbitrarily superimposed upon a land which diverse peoples had built and called home for literal millennia. This being the case, the one question perpetually ringing in my head is this. Why do the politicos of the world continue to refer to and deal with this rogue regime as if it indeed had legitimacy and were deserving of all the recognitions according ruling powers which truly are legitimate? While everyone and every created thing has an innate right to exist, the timeless, changeless, universal rule of life is that neither an individual nor any other entity has a right to exist on stolen property. All rights stop short of property belonging to another. The world over, personal property is recognized as sacrosanct, or at least should be. And again, the prosecution or the proscription goes for tribes and nations. I won't finish that today, but I'll leave you with that. Folks, I hope you enjoyed this show today as much as I enjoyed sharing it with you. Stay tuned for Michael Rivero. I'm sure he has a bundle of stuff, as he always does, to share with you. I'll see you same time, same station tomorrow. Have a good day. And I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.